Well, I don't know if I can preach or not. It's a very emotional moment for me, and your responses only serve to increase that emotion. So bear with me, will you? I'd like to point you to the father of the faithful, Abraham. Abraham was a city dweller. Abraham was a city boy, raised in one of the premier cities of his time, Ur of the Chaldees. I'm not sure what city amenities they had at that time, but I'm sure that so far as the Chaldeans and the world surrounding was concerned, they were the top of the line. Ur was a well-known city, a developed city. Abraham and his family and his friends were very civilized people. They were not heathen. They were not persons who didn't know the demands of life. They were cultured people of their time. So Abraham was a city dweller. I kind of know what it's like to be a city dweller, having been raised in New York City. See, how many people here this morning have been raised in cities? Would you just raise your hands? Okay, let me just try a few. How about L.A.? All right. Chicago? Oh, one lone Chicagoan back there. Oh, two. Okay, all right. How about Toronto? Montreal? How many of you are from cities overseas? Anybody from Paris? Hong Kong? Shanghai? Seoul? All right. Well, we take great pride in our having been raised in cities. You know, city dwellers have a certain pride. It's not probably proper, because all of us are equal in God's sight, but we city dwellers think that we are the cream of the crop. You know, we have been raised in civilization. We have life's amenities. Right. We drive back and forth to work. We don't, you know, we're not driving tractors and those kind of things, okay? I'm reflecting how people think, not how it is, okay? All right. We have running water and we have rugs on our floors and, okay. Ah, yes, there is the dark side of city life. Well, Abraham was a city dweller. I'm sure that he was familiar with the amenities of city life. He was also familiar with the dark side of city life. So let's just take a look briefly at some of the early days of his life. If we turn to Acts, the seventh chapter, actually the story is first told in Genesis 11 and 12, but Stephen in the book of Acts kind of gives us the true perspective on how this happened. If we just look at Genesis, it would appear that God called Abraham from Haran, but actually God called him twice. In Acts, the seventh chapter, Stephen is talking to the Sanhedrin, and he says in verse 2, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran." Then if we go back to Genesis, we find that Genesis actually says that Terah, Abraham's father, took him and his family from Ur and they settled in Haran. So we kind of have a conflict, but it looks like that Terah, as the patriarch of the family, kind of led out in the first Exodus and they went to Haran. There they settled, but that God was not finished with Abraham. He wanted him to go further. He wanted him to go to another city. And so he called him again. He said, Abraham, go out. Go to a land which I will show you. You will have to receive for an inheritance. And it says Abraham picked up with Lot, his nephew, Sarah, his wife, all his retinue after his father died, and they started out for the land of Canaan. And that was the beginning of the pilgrimage of Abraham. I don't think, if we read the record, that Abraham ever dwelt in a city again, that he lived in tents, as in Hebrews it says, with Isaac and Jacob, pilgrimaging in the land that he was to receive as a promise. So Abraham was sojourning in the land that God was to give him as an inheritance that his people were to inherit. But the interesting thing is that in Revelation, in Hebrews, it points out that Abraham had another vision. He was not looking to dwell here in the cities built by men. He was looking to dwell in a city, it says, whose builder and maker was God, that had foundations, whose designer and architect was God. And so Abraham had a vision beyond the city life that we dwell in. And I want to call you today to recognition that we need to have a vision that goes beyond this life. It needs to go beyond where we were born. It needs to go beyond where we settle at various times of our lives. It needs to go beyond where our final living place is. It needs to go beyond where we rest in death. It needs to go to the second coming of Jesus Christ and what he has prepared for us. I kind of think that I had a kind of sojourn, although I was not faced with the kind of inconveniences that Abraham was faced with. I grew up in New York till about age 16. I went off to South Lancaster, from the big city to the small town. You know, South Lancaster is just a dot on the map when compared with New York City. Stayed there for about 4 years, then came to Berrien Springs. From one dot to another dot. Okay. And then God called us to go to Portland, Oregon. We lived there for 3 years, a very, very fine place. I truly think that Portland is not very far from heaven. With all due respect to those of you who come from other beautiful places. From Portland, we went into the Air Force. Amarillo, Texas, out of the Great Plains of Texas, where you can see almost around the world. We used to tell the basic trainees there who threatened to go AWOL, well, go ahead, we can see you for 2 weeks. From Amarillo, God sent me to Vietnam, to the city of Saigon, in the midst of war. 1968 and 1969. All right. From Vietnam, we came back to Dover, Delaware. Now, some of you who have been preachers' sons and daughters, this kind of life is nothing new. You may not have moved this far, although some of you may have moved great distances and very often. But this is military life. From Saigon, we went to Dover, Delaware, another small city, but a city nevertheless. From Dover, Delaware to Montgomery, Alabama. Of course, Montgomery has a history all its own. Some very, very proud people there in Montgomery. From Montgomery, we went to Germany. We lived in a small German city called Bitburg, among the Deutsch folk. In the Eifel of Germany. Beautiful, beautiful place with very wonderful German people. We left Germany and we went to Vienna, Virginia. Of course, we lived in Vienna, but I was stationed at Arlington National Cemetery for 5 years. And so we were in the aura of the great city of Washington, D.C. The whole Northern Virginia and Maryland all revolves around the Beltway and what's inside the Beltway. And so we lived there for 5 years. Then finally, the Air Force sent me to California, to the what's called the Golden Hills of California, north of Sacramento, Marysville, Yuba City. I learned that gold was more brown than gold, but because the grass there is brown a long time during the year. But we survived. And then we came back here to Berrien Springs, and we've been sojourning in Berrien Springs ever since. Now, I use that term sojourn because that's what we're doing, folk. The house I'm living in is not the house that I plan to live in. The street that I live on is not a street paved with gold. Okay? Right. Berrien Springs doesn't have any pearly gates. It doesn't have any walls of jasper. Right? And there are no foundations that are made of 12 different precious stones. It's Berrien Springs just sits here. A nice little quiet downtown, a place where you and I are sojourning on our journey to the place that God has for us. And so I just want to point you in closing to what Abraham was looking for. You know, he had a few crashes in his life. I don't know whether you compare them to the Twin Towers and the Flight 93 or not in the Pentagon, but he had some crashes in his life. A couple of times he thought he was going to lose his wife, that he kind of crashed, you know. He lost his vision and took things into his own hands. Okay? But I want to point out to you that Abraham left a city, the city of Ur and the city of Haran. The next city that he came to, he passed up. His nephew, Lot, chose to live in the city of Sodom. Abraham passed up that opportunity. It's interesting that Mrs. White, in many places in her writings, counsels us not to settle in the cities. But those of us who are in ministry are faced with a quandary because we are called to minister to the people in the cities. And it's difficult to minister to people whom you don't live among and whose lifestyles you don't share. Right? So some of us are going to have to live in cities and raise our children under the conditions of city life and try to bring them to a knowledge and understanding of Jesus in the midst of all kinds of evil, where the devil's purposes are perpetrated daily. You see it on TV, you hear it on the radio, you see it in the newspapers, it's on the internet, that the devil is largely in control of what happens in our cities and in many other places in this world. But we are called to raise our children in ways in which they can look to survive their sojourn in the cities and wherever we happen to settle. And I take you then to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'd just like for you to look with me at what Abraham looked for. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 9. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And then finally, I'd like to take you to the picture that John gives us of that city that is to be our ultimate home. Revelation, the 21st chapter. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And then the verse that we all love so much, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And then going to verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had great high walls with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then going down to verse 15, the angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. And we know the tremendous measurement of the city, about 375 miles square. The wall was made of jasper, verse 18. The city of pure gold, as pure as glass. Foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. And it goes on to name 12 kinds of stones there. 12 gates were 12 pearls. Have you ever seen a pearl that size before? I don't like to see the clam that it came from. Each gate made of a single pearl. God makes his own pearls, folk. He's not dependent on clams. The great street of the city was gold, as pure as transparent glass. And then, of course, it says, in the midst of the city is the tree of life and the river of life, the trees for the healing of the nations. I look forward to that day, don't you? Yes. I can sit under the tree of life, and I like to think mangoes on the tree of life. Some of the rest of you have some other things that you think that are there. The river of life. You know, I drink water that is put through a strainer in my refrigerator. Brita, whichever. Like potato and potato and tomato and tomato, you know. It just depends on where you come from, all right? But it's supposed to be purified water. But I want to tell you, folk, the water in the river of life is purer than Brita could ever produce, all right? Purer than all the bottled water that you can buy. I want to be in that city, don't you? All right. And so you and I today are looking for a city that has foundations, whose designer and whose architect is God. That's where our journey will end, folk. And we want to close by singing about this city. There was a hymn writer who noticed and was inspired by the fact that there was no night there, and many other characteristics of the city. So let's turn the page, I think it's 427, and let's close with the picture of this wonderful city in our minds.